right, good morning everyone. We're going to begin with singing this morning. We're taking our hymn books, hymn number 6-5. Let's stand together as we sing, "O Worship the King." That King is the Lord Jesus Christ. Hymn number 65, "O Worship the King."
O worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing His wonderful love. Our shield and defender, the ancient of faith, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Oh, tell of His might, oh, sing of His grace, whose world is the
that you've joined us to worship the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer, and then after that you can have a seat as the choir is going to sing, "Arise, My Soul, Arise." Father, thank you again. What a privilege to gather together on this, the Lord's Day here in March. What a privilege, Lord, to lift up our voice in song and sing, "O worship the King." Lord, you are worthy. And Lord, we're so grateful for your majesty, your power, your glory. We're thankful, Lord, for your mercy, your kindness, your long-suffering, your grace. We're thankful, Lord, for the free gift of salvation, Lord, offered to every person, Lord, through the Lord Jesus Christ and what he accomplished on the cross as he died for our sins and paid the sin debt, took our place and rose again, Lord, and offers eternal, everlasting life to those who come to him, turning from our sins and calling upon you in faith. Lord, we're grateful that we can come together today, all ages, thankful for those that are here, those that may not be here today, Lord, but watching by way of live stream. We pray today's service would be a blessing, an encouragement, a challenge in their walk with the Lord. Now, Lord, as our choir sings and ministers to us, Lord, I pray that you'd use the words of this hymn based on Scripture to minister to our hearts, to prepare us to receive the Word of God later. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
55, 155. I want to ask you to stand once again as the choir is going to come down and join you during this song, 155, Wonderful Grace of Jesus.
Sin and shame. Oh.
take our hymn books one last time, and 566 we're turning to. 566. Let's go ahead and stand together again. 566, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. 566.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the state of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
Second, ladies. Everyone on the chorus, when the roll is gone up yonder, when the roll is gone up yonder, when the the guys turn on the last. Let us labor for the master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. When all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Everyone, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the singing. Thank you. You may be seated.
Redemption's plan. I stand amazed, I stand in awe. I can't believe that Jesus paid it all. He came to earth to die in my place. I praise the Lord for his amazing grace. Savior died that I might live. He paid the price, my sins he did forgive. They nailed him on that rugged tree. One day I'll live with him eternally. He came to earth to die in my place.
praise the Lord for all the music today. I believe it was God-honoring based on the Word of God. And I trust it encouraged you, encouraged your spirit, drew you closer to the Lord, prepare you for the preaching of the Word of God. We're going to dismiss at this time our children's church ministry, which would be sixth grade down. We do have a nursery for those age 3 and down. If moms and dads want to put them in there, they're welcome to do so. If you think your 3-year-old is able to be in the class, then we leave that up to the parents. 3 different classes for our children and teachers and assistants. So we'll let our children and folks slip on out and let them get in their place here this morning. All right, as they are making their way out, we'll invite all of you to pull out a copy of the Word of God. And if you'll turn with me to the book of Romans in the New Testament, the book of Romans. If you do not have a Bible, there should be a pew Bible right here in front of you. You should be able to see one between the hymnals. Please grab a copy of that and use it during the service. We'd love for you to follow along. You're going to turn to Romans chapter number 12. If you're using one of the pew Bibles, it's page 1595. That'll get you to Romans chapter 12, page 1595 in the pew Bible. Romans chapter number 12. Good to have all of you here today. What a blessing, what a privilege to be part of the family of God, the church, a local church assembly, to do the work that God has given the church to do, to fellowship, greet visitors, comfort, encourage, exhort, admonish, worship the Lord, have our spirits encouraged and refreshed, drawn to the Savior, hear the preaching of the Word of God, be applied by the Holy Spirit. I praise the Lord to be able to be part of a body. Certainly, as I look back, I didn't appreciate that. I can remember as a kid, I just went to church, right? Mom and Dad said, go to church, all right? Maybe because I knew I was going to get donuts in my class, or maybe there was something going on, or who knows what? You know, I mean, I didn't always have the right spirit, even as a teenager. Even in early years of ministry, I guess. I can remember, I wasn't on staff. We were in staff on the Christian school side, but I don't remember tons of just go to church, you know, get to church, and you go do what you got to do, and talk to people, you know, and you leave, and that's about it. But certainly as God has put us in the ministry and studying the Scriptures, and God has helped me grow. I hope I never stop growing, and I hope you never stop growing in your desire to know more about the Word of God and what God has. And even yesterday, as about 9 of us went out here in the Duryea area, knocking on doors, making some visits, some follow-up, sharing the gospel, passing out. You know, you start off by just saying, hey, it's so good to see you. Hey, we're from Independent Bible Church. Hold up a John and Romans right down here on Main Street. We're right over, you know, great. Well, I'm the pastor, and this is so-and-so with me here. And hey, we just want to take advantage of a really nice day today and invite you out to attend our church. Do you happen to attend church anywhere? And, of course, you'll get some different answers. They may remember the church name. They may not. They used to go or whatever. But we had quite a few yesterday. Well, no, not really. Not right now. Never really had. I said, do you have a church background? How were you raised? Do you have any spiritual beliefs? What do you think about all that kind of stuff? And sometimes you'll get some conversations. Sometimes you won't. Do you have a Bible? Do you read the Bible? Do you believe the Bible? What do you think about that? What do you think about the answers to life? Why are we here? How did we get here? What's my purpose in being here? What happens after we die? Do you have the answers for that? Do you know the Bible? One lady yesterday said, you know what? I have really been thinking about those questions. I don't go to church anywhere, but I'm going to think about that, you know. And you say, well, let me encourage you to read this, and we'd love to have you. And we want to, you know, live stream. A lot of times people will be scared to come to a service. You can watch our services, and, you know, you invite people out there. But there's a lot of different views about church. A lot of different views about church. Talk to another gentleman, I mentioned this in Sunday school. I look around. I don't believe he's here. All right, never know. this is where I knocked, and I heard a voice from above. All right. But it wasn't the Lord. It was a man leaning out a second-story window, all right? And so we had a 5-10 conversation as I was looking up at him, all right? Sometimes you get those, all right? And based on his word, now I'm not God. He was a believer. He said he had grown up a certain denomination but realized what the Bible said, and he was in his 20s when he trusted the Lord. And I said, well, do you go to church anywhere or have you? And he said, not really. So obviously, if someone says they read the Bible, I'm excited about that. And I said, well, what does the Bible say about church?
You know, everybody has thoughts and opinions about, I've been to a bunch of churches and they're not to what I think they ought to be, or they don't match up with the early model of Acts and the early church. And you go in and there's a lot of apostate churches. And I agree with a lot of that. And there's a lot of people that absolutely. But does that mean you shouldn't be in church? I think at this point I just sort of do worship the Lord. Yeah, that's very common. All right. And we, like I mentioned the last few weeks, we have a lot of thoughts about church. That doesn't mean that they're biblical. That doesn't mean they match up with the scripture. You may have your strong opinions and your philosophies, and this is the way I think about church and the way it ought to be. Well, it needs to match up with the Word of God. The Word of God is what straightens our thinking out, not our thinking trying to change the Word of God. So if you're with us today, and we have a bunch of visitors sprinkled around, we're always glad to have visitors. I'm finishing up about a 5 or 6 week short series on the church, in particular the theme of ministering to the saints. All right. And so again, when I say words like church, who knows what comes in your mind? The organized religion set up by man in which there are many hypocrites and people who cannot be trusted, and therefore I do not, that kind of a thing. Or saints. When I say saints, which is a Bible word all the time, who knows what you're thinking of? A statue, something that you pray to, a card, whatever. Or what the Bible says is any person who is saved and knows the Lord Jesus Christ and their position in Jesus Christ is that they are fully justified and sanctified, set apart for God's purpose, and positionally they're a saint in God's eye. Who knows what your thinking is? All right. When I say ministering to the saints, who knows what you think? You might think, well, that's your job. You're the minister. You know, but yet what does the Bible say? And so we've got to make sure that we're thinking biblically and that our thinking then changes our thoughts and opinions and philosophy if they don't match what God says. And so that's where we're sort of beginning here today. Now, last week, we did, toward the conclusion of the service, pass out our new 2025 church directory. If you weren't here, didn't get a copy, they're right there at the back by the sound booth. You will have to go down there in a basket there. We'll try to put that on a chair for you to grab one of those. Should have enough for everybody to have one of these, and these are great to have. All right? You ought to keep one, if possible, in your vehicle. That way, if you're out and you need to make a visit, you say, what exactly, where do they live? Or I think I'm on their street. I think I should stop by and check on that person. Or, you know what? I want to contact our missionaries. Hey, this has all of that back in there. And so last week was a little different. We did go around and I went through the directory and had you stand. And after I got home, I did realize we left out one or two. We missed some people and tried to rectify that. And we'll try to update this as needed and put some names and things in the bulletin that we forgot each week. But one group that's in the back, and I don't know if I mentioned this, is a little bit different. And this would be page 13. We do have in the back some things we added. We have college students. And of course, Juliana just went back to Maranatha. She was up on here at break. She's back there now to finish out the semester. We've got David at the University of Pittsburgh. Not all of you know this Mark Dahlberg over here. You may not know his daughter, Alyssa. She's been here with us before, but she's a freshman at the Indiana University of PA. And so, hey, you may feel led to send a note of encouragement, a card, a little thing there, even if you don't know those folks well. We have on here some of our shut-ins. Now, Nancy back there, good to see Miss Nancy. Nancy, I should have put an asterisk by Nancy because she's not the same as all the other shut-ins. Usually a shut-in is somebody who just cannot fit physically attend our services, all right? And so if you're going to go see them, you would need to go to where they're at, all right, for the most part. But Miss Nancy here is at the Meadows Manor, and she would love to have visits, and some of you do, but she also is here a lot. And so that's a blessing that she's able to still be able to get here, and her sons are able to get her here, and so we're glad to see her here today. But if you want to visit any of those folks, that's pretty easy. You just go there, and they'll give you the room number right at the front desk, and you can stop and see those folks, even if they've never met you before, don't know who you are, all right? You'll be an encouragement to them. Then we have it here, some of the military, if that's a blessing for you, Veterans Day, different things. We have on here our list of widows. Bible talks a lot about ministering to the widows, and especially in a church assembly, and the need there, especially if they don't have family or children or things close by, pay special attention to those. And then we have some widowers as well. And so we did stick those in here. I did this a year or two ago, but I want to do this one more time. And just so we don't forget, make sure I do this correct here. And just to make sure, these are some of our folks, to put a name with some of the folks that are here. Not everybody knows these people. Miss Helen's at Wesley Village, getting ready to have a birthday, right? April, I think. All right. And so you can always go see her. Hey, I go see her. She doesn't know me. All right. But we know who she is, and we're thankful for that. Did I need to push something here? Looks like I did. I don't think, I was like, you're supposed to be every 8 seconds. All right. So, what did I do wrong? I think I put the little thing away. Here we go. All right. These are supposed to just be a quick run through here. All right, I think that's going to do it. Is that going to move now? Very good. All right, so if you ever want to make a visit, of course, you can talk to Steve or Chris or Laura. That's Helen's their mom, Mr. Buddy. Now, Mr. Buddy has quite a beard if you've not been up to see Buddy. All right, I know for years he was clean shaven. It's even thicker than that, all right? And I was teasing him the other day. This is Mike and Jeff's parents. Eileen, not a shut-in necessarily, but they're at Wesley Village, but Jean not able to get out too much. You can go visit them and Helen at the same time. Miss Gina, that's usually her pretty much her look, isn't it? All right, for those... She's pretty happy, even though she's got some physical challenges right here in Duryea. And no one gave me permission to use these pictures. Sorry. All right. Lloyd just still is over there. He can come and go, but he just moved over to Glen Mara. Dolly, they're at the same facility, but two different wings. But you can visit both of them at the same time. They'd love to see you there. They're in the 90s. Miss Barbara, of course, just became a widow, but up in Tunkhannock, a little farther away, but you're certainly able to visit her. She'd love to have visits and all of those things. So appreciate, I sent the pictures to Nathan. I thank you for him setting those up. Just to put a face to the name, not all of us know those folks. All right, did I do that right off? All right, I think you did. All right, so just again, the Bible says that in a local assembly, we're to really know our own people. Does that mean we don't minister to any outsiders? All right, do we have badges, IBC only? All right, no, absolutely not. All right, anyone that's a child of God that's saved has a Bible testimony of trusting Christ as Savior. They're saved the Bible way. They called upon the Lord. Yesterday, you get a lot of answers when you ask a person if they know for sure they're on their way to heaven, or how do you know that your sins are forgiven? Do you think you'll go to heaven when you die? A lot of people say, yeah, but then when you ask them, they're not giving Bible answers. They're trusting in just, what a list of stuff that they have done or a list of things that they have not done. As if, I haven't done a lot of those kind of things, or I go to church, or they'll list a denomination, and but that's not what the Bible says. And so anyone that has trusted Jesus Christ and Christ alone for salvation from sins, that has turned from their sins, called upon the Lord, is saved, the Bible says. Once and for all, you've received everlasting life as a gift from God that cannot be altered or changed. You have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You become a child of God. There's a lot of you are a saint positionally. You are called the brethren, and you belong to the body of Christ worldwide, that at any moment the Lord, the groom, could come for his bride, the body of Christ, all believers, and snatch them out of this world, and then begins what would be the tribulation period. But until that time, all believers worldwide should be united in what are called local churches, local assemblies, where they faithfully unite and come together on a weekly, regular basis, as often as that church assembles, to fulfill what the Lord has given as the purposes of the church. The church. Now here at IBC, we, and again, there are no directions in the Bible. So if a church says we don't have Sunday school, all right. Or the Bible doesn't give any of that. Now, certainly you would want to choose a church that you agree with doctrinally and what you believe the most. But there's no direction that it has to be at a certain time, 9:30, 9 o'clock, 8:30, 10 o'clock. Can't have an afternoon service. Dinner's on. Those things are left up to each church and congregation, local pastor and pastoral staff. As long as they don't violate Bible truth, Bible doctrine, those are good things. You don't want the church and the flock to get too comfortable, do we? All right. And so you want to keep things fresh, but we want to do it the Bible way. And so that's what a local church family is. No one's more important than anybody else. I'm not more important than you, but God has given me a position as the pastor or the overseer or the shepherd of the flock. There are deacons, which are God instituted in the Bible as servants that meet criteria spiritually to minister and to serve and to help. There's certainly people that are in positions of leadership, that leadership is an important position to be in because others underneath you, others observe and watch your walk, and therefore you should be above reproach in every area. And that's one of the things we're going to talk about a little bit here this morning. You're in Romans chapter 12. We're going to let the Bible do a lot of the speaking today. If you're not used to just sort of reading the Bible or following the Bible, then get used to it, all right? Because today we're going to do a lot of reading, and I want to encourage you to follow along with me and sort of get the picture again of what a church should be, what a church should look like. Well, not really what it should look like as far as the building, but what should it look like as far as the people and the spirit within it. You can certainly detect the Spirit. If you're not one who goes to other churches when you're on vacation or when you're traveling, then you don't know any. You won't know any of this, all right? But I want to encourage you, as I've encouraged again, God's people ought to fellowship and unite with God's people, if at all possible. If you cannot unite with your own people at your local assembly, and you're out of town for work, or you're out of place, or you can do some research, to be part of a local church congregation, doctrinally sound, that you can unite with or be with while you're not at your own local church, all right? And if you've done a lot of that, then you know there are a lot of differences. A lot of churches, well, that's not the way my church was, or I'm not used to this, or, but the key is picking up on the spirit of the people, all right? Anybody that's been on different churches can pick that up fairly quickly, even with walking in the building, all right? Friendliness, not friendly. Spirit of the people, real, faked, veiled, even smiling. Is it real? Is it veiled? Is it just a quick hello and never see that person again? What's the spirit of the body of Christ? What's the spirit of the... You can pick that up in Christian schools if you've been in Christian schools in any way, speaking or preaching or teaching. You can pick that up when we would take teens on college trips. I mean, you'd be on a Christian college campus just a couple hours and you can immediately pick up the whole spirit of the campus, all right? And a lot of times we get back and we ask the young people, what do you think about this college or this college and this college? And they'd give our pros and their cons and things they like. But a lot of times we would come back to the spirit. They'd be like, boy, the spirit on campus was just, the young people just really had a heart for the Lord. Just was a lot different than the other campus. And so it's not that hard to figure those things out. And we want to make sure that both outward and inward, our church honors and glorifies the Lord in all that we do. Now again, we're getting ready to read, but when I say a church, we're not talking about the building, are we? We're not talking about the structure. We're not talking about the bricks and the sheetrock. We're talking about the body of Christ. You are the church. So if someone says, I don't like that church, what does that mean? You don't like the building? You know, the lights aren't dark enough. I can't see there. Well, that could be true. I don't like the pews, or I don't like the way they do it. Uh-oh, that church is not friendly. No, they're not friendly. They're very friendly. That church will do anything to help you. They love the Lord there. I mean, whether that person's right or wrong, or what their view is, what are they talking about? They're talking about the core, the people there. Now, that church is not very, well, what are they meaning? They're meaning based on those they met. That doesn't mean that's always an accurate view, but they're saying, you know what, the ones I met or the ones I mingled with, you know, weren't the nicest, or I didn't feel welcome, or they didn't make me feel hospitable, or whatever, or the preacher's pretty not very nice, or those, I mean, those things can be true. So what's a church to look like when you get into the DNA of it? Well, let's read some of this here and see if we can figure it out. Romans chapter 12. This is a letter written to an actual church, believers who met in the city of Rome. All right. The first 11 chapters are more doctrinal chapters. All right. But when you get to the last four chapters, they're practical chapters. They're taking the doctrine that's been taught and now putting it into everyday practical living for the believer. So let's read here a lot of this chapter. Romans chapter 12. Keep in mind, believers, saved people are hearing this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Or in Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye... Now when he says ye, that's all the people in the church that are saved. All the brethren. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the very mercies of God, that ye, every one of you that's saved, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now just imagine if every born-again believer here today has done that, or does that on a regular basis. Lord, all that I am, my very body and thoughts are yours. I give them to you as a person coming to give a sacrifice. That sacrifice was put on the altar, and it was consumed and completely burned up. I'm, brethren, that you would give yourself a living sacrifice unto the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm all yours. Whoa! Now, think about what churches would be like if everybody did that. Lord, I'm all yours, everything. All, wow, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. That's tough. That was tough in Rome. That's tough today. Present your body a living sacrifice. At the same time, not allow the pressures and philosophies of the world controlled by the devil to squeeze us in, to be molded, to think and act like lost people. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We've looked at this. This is the key to transformation. It's not how much of the Bible you read. It's how much of the Bible you read and do. That's what transforms you. Again, there are churches full of people who have read their Bible through for 50 straight years, who haven't changed in 50 years. But they're proud that they've read their Bible for 50 years. But they haven't done anything for the Lord in 50 years. So you can read all you want, but you've got to be a doer of the Word. It's got to change your thinking. And God says you're transformed by the very renewing or renovation of your mind when your mind is conformed to the Word of God, not the world. Your mind's either going to be molded and you're going to think like lost people and make decisions like lost people and react like lost people and hold grudges like lost people, or you're going to allow the Word of God to change you so that your thinking is conformed to the Word of God, and therefore everything you do is the Bible way. That's what we're looking at here. That's what a church ought to be like. By the renewing of your mind, verse 2, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now keep reading, because this is written to a church. Verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, that's just generic for every believer, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. So every child of God, everyone that's saved, should be giving their body as a living sacrifice. At the same time, learning to say no to the wrong things of the world to be corn. At the same time, letting my mind be transformed by the very renewing of the Word of God. And one of the things I've got to transform is every time all week, but especially when we unite together as brethren, not to let any person, any believer, think more highly of themselves than they ought to think. But to have a proper biblical opinion of themselves. Wow, that's pretty interesting. He's writing to the believers at Rome, verse 3. End of that verse. But to think soberly. Remember that word, men, from our little Bible study back in March? Soberly, proper, biblical, straight thinking. I'm supposed to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Verse 4, for as we have many members in one body. Now, this is talking both about the body of Christ, but I believe it's talking about a local assembly. So the local church assembly has many members in one body. We're all one body, but we have a lot of different folks here. And all members have not the same office. Not everybody has the same position or the same gifts. Verse 5, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Verse 6, and I've preached on this often. I think it's one of the most things neglected in most churches today, that people are not using, exercising, or even knowing or using their spiritual gifts. That God has very clearly in the Bible pointed out that everybody that's saved has one or more. And this is being taught to the church at Rome, verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given. So the reason our gifts are different is not because someone's superior, it's because God, who gave the gifts, gave different gifts to different people. And God was the giver, and they were all given by His grace. Nobody deserved them. So therefore, no one should think more highly of themselves. You know, what a gifted speaker. Whoa, I can't do that. You're so awesome. No, think soberly. If someone's a gifted speaker, it could be hard work, prayer, filled with the Holy Spirit, but it's also, God, you gave me this gift. I want to think properly and soberly and humbly. You could better use this for your honor and glory. You've got the gift of mercy. You have an extra dose of mercy that other believers do not have, that you see and minister more than others. How come everybody else doesn't do the same thing? What's wrong with that person? God gave you the gift of mercy. Everyone should have mercy, but you might have a little more. Whoa, you're supposed to use that wisely and properly, but not to think more highly of yourself as if you're superior or you do more things. And this is being written to a local church assembly. And he goes through here, and we're not going to read all the different gifts that are given here in verses 6, 7, 8. And then he's going to give some practical things here. Look at verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation, or literally hypocrisy. Let it be pure and clean to everybody. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. This is for all of us. We're to have a family atmosphere. We're to have love and affection for every one of the brethren. Verse 10. In honor, preferring one another. This is what's supposed to happen every time we come to the local church. It's not about me. It's not my opinion. I'm to, in honor, put other people first, serve other people, minister to other people, let other people go before me. If everybody does that, wow, that's what is being given here to this local church for all of us. Verse 11, what would God have of us? Not to be slothful or lazy in business. We should be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. We should have patience during hard times and afflictions. Continuing instant in prayer. Verse 13, interesting. Distributing to the necessity of saints. Distributing. willingly giving and meeting the needs, that could be financial or other ways, to the necessity of the saints that we give into hospitality. Hospitality specifically meaning strangers, visitors. That only for special little groups of people? That is from God to a local church assembly for what God's purpose and desire of churches ought to be, especially. Wow, verse 14, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. And he goes down through there and gives scriptural admonition for believers. But none of that's possible unless, number one, you're saved. Number two, you've given yourself as a living sacrifice. Number three, you have your mind transformed by the Word of God, and you understand your position in Christ, your position in the church, and how God made you, that no one's better than anybody else. We're all here to serve the Lord. May He get the glory. And now, wow, I'm going to take this and run with it. This is a great, awesome responsibility. I'm going to stand before God and give an account. I'm going to be a steward of this. Wow. All right. I can't worry about people who aren't using their gifts. Now, as a believer, I could try to lovingly admonish. I could come alongside and try to sharpen and encourage them. We could have some discussion about it, but if they choose to not use their gifts, I can't judge them or get upset with them. I stand before God one day and I'll give count of my gifts. So I'm going to be a wise steward, not to think too highly or I'm better than everybody else or what's wrong with these people. And I just want to serve the Lord. God gives that there. Chapter 13. Remember our verses we've memorized? Some of us here at the end of chapter 13, follow along with me here. We're letting the Bible do the talking. Look at verses 11 through 14. Again, speaking to a local church assembly, verse 11 of chapter 13. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Church, he's written to the church at Rome. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. That's obviously not talking about the one time where you trusted Christ as Savior, because they're already called brethren. That's just talking about our deliverance from this world. When the Lord's going to deliver and remove us from this place. That's nearer now than it was at the beginning. Verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, verse 13. Not in rioting, drunkenness, chambering, wantonness, not in strife. That word's going to come up repeatedly here. And envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make not provision for the flesh, to fulfill the lust thereof. Hey, wow, do you think everybody today? No, look, some of us chose out our outfits. Some of us, maybe our spouses did or our parents did. And you wanted to make sure. Maybe you shine your shoes. Maybe you never look at your shoes, men. All right? Maybe you check for things. Maybe you don't like any little marks on it. Maybe you want to make sure it's iron. Maybe you only iron what could be seen. All right? Those kind of things. That's what you do at Bible college. You only iron the front, put it on a jacket. Don't look at the back. All right? All right? Maybe the tie. You got something on your tie. You got a stain there. Maybe men walked around this way. All right? There's a lot of things you can do. All right? You want to look match. You say, I put on my clothes. I look good. Well, did you put on the Lord Jesus Christ? We may have the hair looking good and the makeup looking good and the tie looking good and the cologne and everything. And we spend a lot of time on those kind of things. Did you put on the Lord Jesus Christ before you came to church? Did you put on the very spirit and character of Jesus Christ as you came to this local assembly? Knowing that there's always going to be conflicts of personality. People carrying heartache, discouragement, past sins that haunt them. Folks who weren't trained in a Christian home that don't have maybe the same character as those raised in a Christian home and parents that trained them diligently. Not everybody has the same knowledge. Some people are a little reserved, a little backward. Some people maybe not taught social skills. Some people maybe over time have been burned and they've been hurt. And so they just clam up there, right? You don't say anything, nothing's going to come back to you. And there's all kinds of people. People that may not even know the Lord. People who may be religious. People who may not be religious. Did we put on the Lord Jesus Christ carefully? Was that any part of our attire this morning? Do we put on humility? Do we put on service? Do we come expecting to serve the Lord and say, oh God, what can I do today? What a wonderful privilege. I mean, that all impacts the church and the church's spiritual DNA. That's being addressed here to this local church in Rome. Flip over to chapter number 15 of Romans. Chapter number 15. Let's let the Bible do the teaching. The Bible do the teaching. Romans 15. Take a look at the first three verses again. Every congregation, you have little children in Christ. Some folks who are babies in Christ. They've been saved, but they haven't really grown yet. You have mature believers. You have weak in the faith. People who are very weak in the faith. to a person strong in the faith, you can't understand. Why can't you trust the Lord with 10%? Why can't you trust the Lord with 20%? They're weak in the faith. You're strong in the faith. For some people, trial and tribulation, hey, let's go out. Don't let people bother you. Come on, let's go. You may be strong in the faith. You have other people that are weak in the faith. Chapter 14 starts with those that are weak in the faith. Chapter 15 starts with what? Look at verse 1. We then that are strong, that's not talking about physical strength and what you can bench and squat. We then that are strong spiritually ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. So did you come to church today prepared to bear the infirmities of weak believers? Or do they bother you? Or maybe you're not as strong as you think you are. Maybe you're not a strong believer. Maybe you consider yourself strong based on Bible knowledge and years saved and years in the church, but is that what he calls a strong believer? We then that are strong ought to bear, what? To carry the load of the infirmities of the weak believers. I don't have time for that. I got a lot of money. And not to please ourselves. Now, the Bible is to shape our thinking so that our thinking matches God's thinking. And that our actions then match up with the biblical thinking, and so that there's therefore change and transformation in your life as a believer. Or we can say, I don't like to change. I'm not going to change. I mean, this is the way it is. Well, I think it's pretty clear from the Bible. Verse 2, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. Even something as simple and sometimes as mundane as a church fellowship dinner is very interesting, isn't it? Even something like that is very revealing. The church is coming together to fellowship, something the early church did apparently every week and maybe every day. Coming to eat, coming to encourage, supposed to be hospitable to any visitors or strangers that may not normally be with us. Anybody who's spiritually strong should especially watch out for those who are a little spiritually weak. Not everybody knows how to talk and mingle, start conversations. Not everybody has tact. Not everybody knows how to make people feel welcome and change conversations and turn it to themselves and make a person ill at ease feel comfortable. Not everybody does that kind of stuff. So even something like that is pretty interesting to sort of watch. Who do you sit with? Who do you talk with? Who helps afterwards? Who looks to help? Who doesn't? Not everybody can do those things. Certainly the Bible puts emphasis on the young people, those that have younger and younger couples and younger, that have strength and vigor. So that guy gave that to use. So we ought to be the ones. I used to always get upset at our teens. We always had our church fellowships in a gym. Now that's always challenging. Because soon everybody, they want to shoot basketball. They want to shoot, play volleyball. Ball's going everywhere. All right. Kids are running around, they're bored, and as soon as it was cleanup time, I was a youth pastor, so I could get away with this. Hey kids, I don't want to see any of the older folks carrying chairs. That doesn't mean they can't do it, but they don't need to do that. You can do it. You help clean up, you help put the tables away, and then you go play, you know? And that doesn't mean it has to be Bible doctrine and it's a sin, but hey, we then that are stronger physically, we should be able to help those folks. We should be come alongside, let people be gracious, those kind of things, pick up. Hey, that's what the Bible says. Well, that's what a church family ought to do, especially in spiritual areas, is really what the emphasis is here. Spiritual emphasis. This is a weaker believer. They're struggling with some things. You can sense that. You can see that. You can see they're disheartened. You can see they're struggling as a young parent. You can see they don't know how to with their teens. You can observe that they are struggling now that they lost a spouse. You can see that they're, because of their sporadicness of coming and not coming and beating themselves up. And you remember when you used to beat yourself up with past sins, and the longer you stay out of church, the more guilty you feel, so oftentimes you don't come back. We then that are strong spiritually, that have some experience, that have walked with God, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. We should be distributing to the necessity of the saints. We should know the saints. We should know the needs of the saints. We should meet the saints' needs if at all possible. I mean, even 1 Timothy says, in your congregation, there are those who are poorer and then those who are richer. 1 Timothy says, charge them that are rich in this world that as a believer, this is how they should handle their money. I mean, the Bible even tells you that. Ready to distribute to those that don't have as much, to lay up for every good. I mean, the Bible addresses all of that. And there are many who have read that same Bible every year for 50 years and maybe don't do any of that stuff. God's not as interested in us reading the Bible and doing a checklist as studying the Scriptures, meditating on the Scriptures, letting it change our thinking that our actions then follow so that we can be a transformed believer. And people say, wow, has that person changed? And we're not just talking about young people. Older adults who often don't change, they're completely different. God's Word is really shaping their thinking. Their actions have really changed. I've really seen what God has done, and that's helped me grow. Wow, praise the Lord. Now, you get to chapter 15 toward the end. Paul's talking about meeting the needs of the saints. He says in verse number 25 of chapter 15, now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. This ties in with our Sunday school lesson. Paul says, I'm headed to Jerusalem. I'm going there. Yes, I want to preach the gospel, and yes, I want to see as many Jews come to know the Lord. But as we saw in Sunday school, his primary thing was ministering to believers. He's going to join up with believers, stay at their homes, encourage, preach, teach, come alongside, answer questions. He's going to strengthen. Paul was certainly a strong believer. Anybody in Sunday school? Paul, you're going to get arrested and it's okay. You don't think that shaped the young believers? It gave them courage? Paul was strong in the Lord. Those things did not move him. He was prepared. Not everybody could do that. All right? And so you saw Paul say, I'm going to minister. I'm bringing an offering. I want to meet with the believers. I want to encourage. And wow. And then we come to chapter 16 of Romans. Chapter 16. What a chapter. Often skimmed over because of all the names. All right? Oh, my goodness. These are believers. These are the brethren. I think there's at least 5 different churches mentioned here if you read this chapter carefully and look at it. There looks like there's at least 5 different local churches perhaps in the city of Rome, and it makes it pretty clear that it appears that certain believers were part of certain ones. They didn't bounce around, which shows really, I believe, church membership. That there were believers associated with specific local churches, they were part of that church, and that's where they served. Doesn't mean the churches never got together and mingled, but you read that chapter carefully, you're going to observe some of the workings of the early church in those days. All right? Take a look at just the first 3 or 4 verses. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. Sister? Yeah, sister in Christ. Which is a servant of the church, which is at Centuria. That you receive her. So obviously she's maybe going to a different church. You receive her in the Lord as becometh saints. As should be absolutely normal, is what he's saying, for any child of God. You should absolutely receive her. She's a fellow sister in Christ. Receive her as the sister. And that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a secure, that's an old word of saying a great helper, a great helper of many and of myself also. Verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Wow. Verse 5, likewise greet the church that is in their house. They probably had to meet in houses in those days. Verse 6, greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. And you have all kind of stuff being mentioned here. Now, all of that is wonderful. That is glorious. That ought to be what a church ought to be like. You say, but that's not how all churches are. but why not? But that's really God's DNA for what a local church assembly should be. Filled with believers who are filled with God's Spirit. Coming together to worship and glorify the Lord. And make sure that at the end of the day, Jesus Christ was magnified and nobody even noticed you or me. Christ was magnified. Coming together to worship, to grow in Christ, to be under the preaching of the Word of God, which should be our bond, to minister and serve one another. Wow, young and old alike, to show love and kindness to visitors and strangers, to lay aside ourselves and edify and build up fellow believers, to exercise and use our spiritual gift as God has given us for His glory and for the building up of the body of Christ to be what God desires. That's what it ought to be. Glory to God. You say, who wouldn't want to be part of that? Who shouldn't be excited about coming to that? That ought to be something we look forward to and love to do. And you say, woohoo, praise the Lord. But yet we know, wait a minute. The churches are not perfect because they're made up of imperfect people. That sounds good, preacher, but you've been disillusioned. That's just a made-up movie. Because, right, we know what a movie is, right? On a movie, you've got, it looks like a perfect world. Once upon a time, happily ever after. They're all just acting, right? You know how it is. You get older, and now that you're older, you Google everything. And then you find out that person wasn't very nice. That person was unfaithful. I don't want to keep looking at that stuff because I want to keep watching the shows. They look so fun and they're so wonderful. But when I study who they were, they didn't get along on the show. They didn't like each other. They never talked afterwards. Yeah, it was acting to get a paycheck. Is that the way many churches are? Come together today and we're going to act. Like the old Greek acting, right? It's where they get the word hypocrite. I'm going to play five parts, so I'm going to put it in front of my face. And that's, now I'm the older man. And nope, now I'm the young man. No, that's what acting, that's what hypocrite means. I'm playing a part. You know, a lot of believers don't live the Bible way. We play a part. This is the way I'm supposed to look at church today. Hi, everybody. Amen. So good to see you. Can't wait to get out of this place. Now, is that everybody? Of course not. But we're imperfect people. We're sinners. We know that God is perfect, but here we are trying to have a local assembly that we all have our problems and we all deal with things and we have different backgrounds and different cultures and we were raised different ways and we were all saved perhaps at different times, or there may be folks who weren't saved or people that don't know the whole Bible, and some who are strong in their faith and weak in their faith, and some who are unruly and some who are rebels and some who are gracious and some who are rich and some who are poor and different blah. And all, how's that supposed to work? Well, God's given a guidebook. And really, it was a lot harder probably in those days where the Jews and the Gentiles had to merge because they hadn't done that in 1,500 years. It was very difficult for them. And you can read the letters to the churches and see that there were struggles. In fact, I want to take these last few minutes and just look at a couple things here, because all churches have problems. But that doesn't mean that you leave a church. In fact, that's for another study. What would be a reason a person should leave a church? Should you leave a church because someone gets you upset or you got offended or didn't agree with you? Is that a biblical reason to leave a church? Or should you leave doctrine? Of course. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say would be a reason? You come to church. Let's just do a quick look here. We'll only look at two passages. I have a bunch more, but let me just read a few just to give you a flavor, and then we're going to finish. Now, even in chapter 16, it looks wonderful, but I want you to notice how chapter 16 of Romans ends. Because this is also true in every church, including this church. Verse 17 of Romans 16. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions. Huh? Now I beseech you, brethren, same group of people, I beseech you, brethren, mark them, note them, which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Oh, surely not so, preacher. Not in this church. Not in that church. Verse 18. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, or literally their own desires and lusts. And by good works, not evil works. Not evil works, by good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Paul, why did you put that in there? There are those who seek to bring division. Things contrary to the Word of God. Do you think the devil ignores the church of God? Do you think he just leaves it alone? Do you think he doesn't try? We know tries to get in wolves in sheep clothing, false teachers, false preachers. That's the theme of almost every New Testament book leading up to Revelation. Wow, we've already looked at that. Try to get that church apostate, be on guard against false doctrine. And then, as a warning, we've got to be so on guard for false doctrine, we don't get cold, though. We've got to not lose our first love. Wow, We've got to make sure we're having put on the Lord Jesus Christ, keep it straight by the book, but at the same time, love one another, be hospitable. That's not easy to balance. But then we have the warning here, be careful. Mark and note that there are those among the brethren. Doesn't mean they're not saved. They're always causing division. Always causing strife. Always doing things contrary to the teaching of the Word of God. Telling a few people, have a listening ear. Getting little groups behind the scenes, whispering. You better avoid them. You better hope that they repent. They'll tear the whole thing apart. You better watch it. They're not doing it for the Lord. They may use good works and fair speeches to deceive weak-minded, immature believers who are very simple-minded, very gullible. They're not grounded in the Word of God. They're really not in the Scriptures much. They just sort of go with the flow. You better be careful. Whoa, that's the warning of the church at Rome. Hey, look at the next page, 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Here's another church in another city. And what do you see in chapter number 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 as we conclude? Verse 10, now beseech you, brethren, who's the audience? Saved believers. I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Very first thing he has to address to the church at Corinth is the very thing that's mentioned throughout the New Testament with churches. Division. Factions, groups, sections. In chapter 3 of this, Paul's going to say, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. Wherever there's divisions, there's carnal believers. Fleshly, worldly, people who fighting in factions and little gossip and busybodies and slander and people whispering and murmuring and saying things that don't even know it's true, attacking people's character. The Bible talks a lot about that. Tale-bearing, slander, the gossip, the unruly. I mean, that is being warned. We don't have time to look at it all today. Constantly in the books to the churches. So let us not close our eyes and think that doesn't happen today. It happened at the Church of Rome, it happened at the Church of Corinth, it happened in multiple churches, and I will say this, it always happens. But that doesn't mean it has to, and we must be on guard against that, and we must be careful to not cast blame, but rather as the disciples say, Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? When he said one of you is going to betray me, they didn't start looking around at people. Yeah, it's them. Lord, could it be me? Yes, it could be any one of you if you know yourself. But I know my heart. I would never do that. Well, that's a simple-minded believer. That's not biblical, the person who says that. So that's a weak Christian. The Bible says you can't trust your heart. So anybody that says that, you're not really spiritually strong. The Bible says your heart's deceitful and desperately wicked. Only the Lord knows it. So you say, preacher, we're going to fellowship. You're leaving us discouraged. We're going to go eat. I mean, Paul had a great book, and he ended it with that. Be careful. And you want to know, if you do careful reading of the Word of God, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, he ends that letter to another church, and he addresses those that cause divisions, those who are lazy in the church that do no work. They shouldn't even eat. He addresses the busybody, which you'll see repeatedly. The person who doesn't mind their own business, always wants to know about every other business, wants to learn about everybody else's things, and that's what they love. He warns about the busybody. You see it repeated again in 1 Peter 4 about the busybody. I didn't even get to my second page, all right? I was going to try to say, beware in the church of the angry person. Beware of the apathetic. I had my alphabet. Beware of the bitter and the busybody. Beware of the carnal and the critical. Beware of the discontent and the disgruntled. You'll have those in every church. That doesn't mean that we don't struggle with those things. Doesn't mean we don't oftentimes, but as anybody who's known for those things, that's the pattern in their life, the Bible says that person, I believe, should not ever be in any position of leadership. Ever. Until they either get that right and solve the Lord, because they will bring harm to the body of Christ and lead others astray. The Bible says make no friendship with an angry man, then you shouldn't have an angry man or woman in any spiritual leadership position, because angerness leads to bitterness, and bitterness is a poison. It'll disrupt the church body. You'll become discontent. Anybody who has the burr under the saddle, got a chip on their shoulder, that person is a dangerous person. They need to get that right with God. It doesn't mean they're not saved. The critical, the busybody, the people that are always not. I mean, the Bible addresses all of that in the context of the body of Christ. That doesn't mean we walk around labeling people, but rather a spiritually minded person would say, Lord, that could certainly be me. Lord, if I'm doing any of that to harm the body of Christ and your testimony, oh God, show me. Not that critical spirit of judging others and motives and thinking evil of everybody. That's not what agape love is. We have much instruction in the Bible about what God would have. I said I was going to finish, but I want to finish on a good note. 1 Corinthians 16, and we're done. I do want to end on a great note, because even in the carnal church of Corinth, though, praise God, there were some believers who were a great blessing to that church body and to the work of the ministry. And Paul specifically mentions them by name. So let me end as Paul ends in 1 Corinthians 16, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 16, he had to address all kind of questions and all kind of problems that the church had. And he has to write another letter to them in 2 Corinthians. All right? And by the way, he still addresses them as saints. So remember that. A saint is not just because you're such a nice, good person and you're a saint. The church at Corinth was largely carnal and arguing had divisions, and he wrote to them and said to all the saints at Corinth. So a saint is your position in Christ because of Christ alone, not your disposition. Although God would have our character match our position. But as he finishes the letter to 1 Corinthians 16, I want you to know, though, he specifically, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, points out a specific family that I believe would be God's desire for all of us to have this spirit. 1 Corinthians 16, look at verse 15. I beseech you, brethren, there it is again, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia. It means they were some of the first believers saved when Paul came to plant the church at Corinth. And that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Tremendous word study there. We don't have time to do that. They have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to every one that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. Verse 18, and we finish. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. Wow. There were a lot of carnal people in Corinth. There's a lot of strife, division, proud, arrogance, abusing their spiritual gifts. Paul had to deal with a lot. At the very end, he said, "But I want to tell you something. There's a special group of people there. Some of the very first people who came to know Jesus Christ when I walked upon the shore of Corinth. And they have stayed faithful. And they're not perfect, but they are such a blessing. They have just given themselves completely to ministering to fellow believers. I mean, they're all addicted to it. I mean, it's like all they think about. That's like all they do. It consumes them. They just love to meet the needs of fellow believers. And they're such a refreshment to me, like a cold drink of water. Oh, every time I see them, every time I think of them, a smile comes to my face. My burdens are a little less heavy. My spirit is refreshed. Can I ask you, would that match you? Would that match your family? Now, no one's perfect. We all have our sins and our flaws. We're all pieces of work being sanctified by the Lord if we're saved. We have our ups and downs. We're all at different levels of our walk with God. But when you come to church, are you a refreshment to the body of Christ? When you come to church, do you come to serve? Are people refreshed when they leave your presence and your family or your home or your spirit? Do you have a, and if you've wronged somebody, you're quick to get that right, and that person says, they're a blessing. Boy, that's hard to do that. I don't think I could do that. That must have been humbling. They would rather have favor with God than with man, but I'll tell you what, those that are faithful to God find favor with man, the Bible says. Let us all have the desire to be like the house of Stephanas, who refresh the spirit of the saints, who minister to the saints, and are such a blessing to be around. I trust that's the heart of every one of us. If you're here today and you're not a saint, you've never personally acknowledged that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, you're trusting into religion, or that you're, compared to other things that you see, you don't do this stuff, and that God's just going to overlook all that and say, come on into heaven. That doesn't meet the Bible standard. That's wrong thinking. You'd have to humble yourselves and admit that that's not right thinking. You'd have to conform to what the Bible says is Bible salvation. I've got to acknowledge I'm a sinner in need of Savior. I can't save myself. I'm not a good person. I am not a good person. Wow, I'm evil. I'm wicked. Whoa. None righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Whoa. I acknowledge that. God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us? Why did Christ die for us then? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. Except you be born again. I've got to acknowledge the Bible's true and I'm wrong, and I've got to do what God says. I'm going to let it shape my thinking and my actions so that I can be, I want to be part of the family of God. I want to be in God's side. I want to be a brethren. I want to be a saint. I want to be one of his children. I want to know that I have eternal life. I want to know that there's a purpose. I want to belong to a local assembly and jump in and be part of it and serve. I want to have a church family. I want to know what God has for me. I want to do everything he can do. I don't want to hold grudges and be angry and be bitter and critical. God, I want to be a refreshment. God, please help me to be that person by your grace for God's glory, no matter if no one else does. I want the Word of God to shape my thinking and my everything. I don't want to be led by my emotions. I don't want to be led by my deceitful heart. I don't want to be led by anything else but the Word of God, and I want to make sure that myself or my family do it God's way. Whether at this church or if God removes you to another local church, that you are faithful to it and that you serve until you no longer can do that. May God receive the glory for all that he has done. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I pray now for these your people. Lord, I don't know everyone here today. We have some visitors. We're glad to have visitors. We welcome visitors. I pray that this spirit would, church would always be known as a church that welcomes visitors. Lord, most in here, though, know Christ as Savior. Give a testimony of that. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today that has never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, if there's anybody here today struggling with what would happen if they died, not sure that they'd go to heaven and have their sins forgiven, I pray that, Lord, during this time of fellowship downstairs as we eat lunch, that they would slip up to my wife or I, and we'd be glad to talk with them. Slip up to a believer that they know and could ask them some questions. Lord, I pray that we'd be more interested in doing that than even eating lunch like Jesus with the Samaritan woman. Lord, there may be some believers in here today that you've been working in their heart. You've been trying to change their thinking to get their thinking to match up to the Bible. They've never been baptized. They've never obeyed the Lord in that area. That's going to hinder their spiritual walk with God. They need to identify with Jesus Christ and not be ashamed, to let people know that God saved them, that they're ready to follow him and obey. There may be some who've never joined a local church or this church and have never really got involved, and yet they're maybe beginning to realize the Holy Spirit is confronting them about serving. And then there's those who serve faithfully, but Lord, maybe their spirit is not honoring to you. They might serve and be busy, but Lord, maybe their spirit is not Christ-like. Lord, I don't know what you may have shown today, but I pray that each person here today would be willing to do business with God. We're just going to have one stanza. Let's just have the piano itself begin to play. If God's worked in your heart, you need to get something right with the Lord, would you be willing to do that right there as you sit? Now, if you need to trust Christ, now's the time. I don't want you to delay that. I'd like for you to slip out right now to the back. No one's looking but myself. If you're here today and the Holy Spirit of God is impressed upon your heart, I need to be saved. I need to talk with someone. I want to encourage you right now, just slip to the back. My wife's back there. She'll be glad to chat with any of you ladies. Brother Mike, one of our deacons, is back there. He'd be happy to take you to an office and just open the Word of God today. We're not in any hurry today. You want to get that settled right now today. Get that settled. But if you're saved here today and the Holy Spirit of God spoke to your heart in any area, I hope you got that right with God. You shouldn't want to go another minute. You want to make this local assembly all that God wants it to be. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Minister to one another in love. not have to pretend, but to be open and honest and love one another in a great place like this local church. If God's worked in your heart in any area, you need some help or counsel, I pray you'll seek that out by speaking to myself, my wife, any of our men, our deacons would be glad to help you. Lord, we love you. We pray you'll do a work, Lord, not just in this morning service, but even now as we prepare in a few moments to go downstairs and enjoy some fellowship, something so vitally important to the local church, where God's people come together and laugh and fellowship and talk and cry and share prayer requests and blessings and can encourage one another, both young and old alike. And Lord, I pray you'd be pleased with all that is done downstairs and then our afternoon service. We'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. But just before we dismiss, we have a young lady here that I know pretty well, all right? This is our favorite daughter that's home, all right? I've got to be careful. No. This is Emily. If you're visiting, this is Miss Emily. Emily is coming forward to join IBC. You say, what? That's the pastor's daughter. Well, if you know our constitution, yes, she would be considered more of a junior member. But when a person becomes 18, at that point, our constitution states that once you're 18 or older, if you desire to, you can become a what would we call a full-time member by coming forward and joining the church. That would then allow her to vote at business meetings, be able to serve in some ministries that she would not be able to do that at different times once she has her clearances and things. And so she has a desire to do that. We have not been meeting with her nightly to tell her that, all right? At least I haven't, all right? We've not been saying this. That was she just on her own free will was ready to do that. Obviously, she'll be here just a few months and head off to Bible college in August, but we're thankful for her. We obviously know her well. We know her testimony, but she did meet with two of our men and shared her testimony. Many of you heard her testimony a few years ago. She was baptized here just a couple years ago and shared that publicly and then followed the Lord in believers' baptism. So I don't think that's a secret for most people, but she is coming this morning. She met with deacons. She's read the Constitution. She understands church membership. And signed our church covenant that she wants to be a part of this church here. And so we're thrilled. I mean, she is a part. It's just more of a formal declaration based on her constitution that she is now coming to be a formal member now that she's 18. She's given testimony of trusting Christ as her Savior. I'm sure that she'd be willing to share that with anybody if you ask her, all right? See her at lunch. She'll be glad to share her testimony of how she came to know the Lord. She has followed the Lord after salvation by being baptized publicly and identifying, and now she's coming forward to be a member. Am I speaking correctly?
Yes.
All right, that is correct. So all those that are members of IBC, willing to receive her as a member, and in favor of that, if you'll just state by raising your right hand and accepting her as a member, all opposed, like sign. All right, we're thrilled to have you as a member of IBC. Now, normally we finish the service and everybody come up and greet her, but because we're getting ready to eat, here's what your options are. You can see her when she's downstairs at a table, or we have an afternoon service, and she'll be here at the afternoon service. And so we'll probably, at the end of the afternoon service, have her come back up. And if you'd like to just formally say, hey, Emily, we love you, we're proud of you, glad to have you, you're welcome to do that. But we're not going to do that now because folks are hungry, all right? So thank you so much, Emily. We love you. We're proud of you.